on the internet air.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazAndPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Well, you're with Embracing Mother Earth and the Taz and Paula Show. This is Paula Nunes.
And this is Taz Powers.
Well, we have another great guest, Ann Thorpe.
Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazAndPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Well, you're with Embracing Mother Earth and the Taz and Paula Show. This is Paula Nunes.
And this is Taz Powers.
Well, we have another great guest. Ann Thorpe is a sculpturing visionary, creating for her clients new or remodeled fine art custom projects, cabinetry, libraries, showcases, fireplace surroundings, functional art, original paintings, and carved pieces that will easily increase their original investment value over the years. Whoa, I wish I'd known Ann a long time ago. In fact, Ann is art. She is an optimist who is energetic, spontaneous, that easily merges with her clients' dreams to ignite the details needed to implement their plan. Yes, she supports others and their ideas into reality. By maintaining manufacturing products factory direct, Anne passes the cost savings on to her clients, providing very high quality collectible products for competitive and reasonable prices.
And you can visit her quaint studio showroom that displays a sampling of high-quality product to fire up your imagination. Architectural art is definitely in Anne's blood. What fun! Not many people have this grasp of color and design that nurtures your soul along with theirs, too, and Anne definitely has it. Anne, it's so refreshing to have you with us today. Welcome!
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure, my great pleasure. Thank you.
Whew, I can see you, Anne, as a little girl, drawing houses with beautiful gardens, adding lots of color to everything you do. And
yeah, that was pretty routine.
That was routine? Was there a particular day or event that ignited the love of design and art into your life?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, the earliest memory I have is when I was around 6 or 7 years old, and it's kind of different, but they were building a house down the block from, you know, at the end of our street. And they had the basement dug. It was in Michigan. And, of course, all the children were told not to go near that hole, and that's the first thing we did in the morning. We were all gathered around that big basement hole. And deep inside the hole was all of the other contractors' debris from previous construction site. There was glass, metal, all sorts of sharp objects, you know, broken cement, just a great deal of trash, which is how they used to create the houses, put all the trash in the bottom of a basement and then cement it up because it was just going to be a cemented floor. Well, they had one plank across this big hole. It was about 8 feet high, and I don't know, the size of a house, which wasn't that big back then, and a little square. And the boys were all walking across the plank, you know, showing who was stronger. Well, being the only girl in a family of four boys, I had to show them that I was just as good. So I went off on that plank, and I wasn't just going to walk across it. I was going to jump and dance. So I got in the middle of the plank and started bouncing. And all my friends were laughing. And I remember it was a beautiful sunny morning because the sun was behind them as they were. They were a little silhouetted as I was looking at them. And then I missed and started falling down. And I remember it was all slow motion. And I couldn't understand why their faces looked so horrified all of a sudden. And I remember then I felt basically no motion. But I remember being all of a sudden at the side of the hole as I was going down. And what I noticed was it felt like a moment in time that stopped. And it was the dirt. The dirt was so incredibly beautiful. The minerals were sparkling, all of the different colors of brown, sepia, the deep blacks, gold. And I was just in awe, and I remember distinctly thinking, I have to be an artist so I can paint this dirt. And then... there was a blank. I blanked out and woke up in my house. One of the boys came and fished me out. I had ended up having a concussion. It was not, you know, it was just something they had to watch for a day or two, wake you up. Didn't have one scratch on me and one bruise, not one bruise, other than that concussion.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's the first thought I had, and then from that point on I was obsessed with drawing and painting, and we couldn't afford any paints or colors, so I remember I was thrilled every time my mother would pick up my dad's shirts from the cleaners that in those days were folded, and I would grab the cardboard out of the shirts, and that was my drawing paper until I went to high school.
Oh my God.
Well, it sounds like they knocked spirit knocks some art into you.
I think so. Something hit me. But it was a great, I mean, I just remember it being a very beautiful experience. But that's the first time.
So did you take art in college or after high school?
Yes, I did. I took classes in college, and I went to graduated from a two-year college at Henry Ford Community College near my home because my father had passed away when I was about 14, and so I was staying at home to help my mother raise my brothers. And then I worked for a couple of years to get the money to go to art school to get my degree. And then life just took a different turn. I got one of my jobs was a cashier, where I took a couple of buses and walked, I don't know, about 4 or 5 blocks to get to the grocery store, and I was a cashier there, and so it was not in my neighborhood, not in the normal, out of my realm, my little world that I grew up in. And right when I was ready to quit that job, a girl from high school, Barbara Burns, I remember, came into my quick checkout line. And, you know, it's the first time I saw her since high school. And she said, "Ann, Delta Airlines is hiring. You have to fill out the application." It was in reservation, about 10 miles from our house. And I said, "Oh, okay." And she said, "Now promise me you're going to do it." I said, "Sure, okay." Well, I didn't do it because I was too shy. And the next week she was back. And she said, "Ann, I told them you were going to call and you never called. Here, I brought an application just in case I ran into you. I want you to fill it out, and you have to promise me you're going to fill it out. And, you know, a good Catholic girl, you can't break a promise." And we just laughed, and so I filled it out, and one thing led to another. They interviewed, I found out later, around 2,000 girls and hired 30 for the class. I was one of the 30, and then they only had positions for 19, and I got one of those positions.
Oh, my God.
Totally.
In the reservations?
Yeah, it was in reservations, and it was 10 miles from my house. And it was it just opened my whole world. You know, we had never even been on vacation. So it was just what was wonderful is it taught me, they taught you to, I mean, when I found out I was hired, I was thrilled, cried, and a lot of happiness. And then I thought, oh, my God, did they realize who they hired? And I thought, how am I going to do this? But they, you know, they taught you how to sell. They taught you the different phraseology to help people make up their mind, depending on how the conversation went. And eventually I became an assistant supervisor and then a supervisor. And it was very good money. They also paid for your school. So I thought it was great. I could go back and get my art degree. So wherever I lived, at that point I was 22, and then I was engaged and got married at 25. And every place I lived in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, I kept going to school trying to get my degree finished. But with my rotating shifts, I was never able to really get my degree because back in those days, if you missed one or two classes, they basically gave you, you know, a grade where you had to take it again. And they were very negative about people who worked full-time and going to art school back then. You weren't serious if you were working full-time. So it was a whole different, you know, world. But it ended up bringing me to the point where when I was 34, I quit the airlines and went into painting full-time. And then I went back to school to get my degree and ended up with two of the worst professors or teachers that you could pick out of the entire country. And, you know, they had to be the two oddest situations that could occur. And it ended up, I decided, you know, it was very expensive, and I thought, oh, forget this. I'm just going to search out the artists who've been painting for 20 years and go to their workshops and learn. So I ironically, one of the college classes was a life drawing class and watercolor, and so I, at the same time, signed up for an adult ed class that was $35, and this college class was like $300 a credit. And I went to both classes. Ironically, tell me the universe isn't telling you something here. Ironically, our homework assignment was identical for every single lesson.
Ooh.
So I would do one black and white painting, bring it to the college class, and that professor would have us hang our painting up using the left-hand corner with a thumbtack and overlap each painting over each other so sign our name where the bottom corner would stick out, and he would just go by and check it off. There was no critique, nothing. The only purpose of it was, here is paper to buy in order to, he had an art store. Here's his materials you need to purchase in order to do your homework. Here's the model. I'll be, see you in 4 hours. And then he would leave. And I thought, this is nuts. So then I would bring the same painting to the adult ed class and get a slideshow about what the class was about, the history of whatever we were learning at that point. We would each get a 10-minute critique that the whole class heard, and then we would have a lesson for that day. We would work on that lesson, and then we'd go home and finish it and start it over again. So it was a very ironic situation. We had an all green painting. I mean, every single painting was identical for both. And I had to make a decision which way I wanted to go. And I thought, I'm just here to learn art and learn what I can learn. So I decided to go my own way and search out the workshops, the professional artists, join the art societies, and that's what I ended up doing. And then from there, I ended up, wanting to do sculpture and do 3D, which is a very natural, normal transition. But I didn't want to just do sculpture. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I wanted to do something that was different. And then, many years later, my husband and I built our first home. And I took the opportunity to design the cabinetry and the door, the light fixtures, the landscaping, and it all worked out well. And in the process, I learned the thought process that you need to go through, how you need to evaluate it. And I figured I already went through my worst client, my husband. So for us to meet minds was really quite... I could help anybody once we figured out what we wanted to do, because we were both so opposite.
And your own house was your own workshop.
Yeah. And I found out later that that's how a lot of designers started. They were artists, and they transitioned into the 3D design, and their first projects were really their first home. Mm. And that, just like myself, people came and saw my house, and they were building or remodeling, and they asked me to help with theirs, and that's how it started.
It was a natural transition there.
Yeah, very natural, and I loved it because I was creating something functional and different and unique. And one of the things that happened when I was creating the designs, say cabinetry, for example, I was pretty disappointed and pretty much disgusted at the prices that I found to do anything that was slightly different. And I just thought people should have the option to have whatever they want at a really good price. That you shouldn't have to pay a higher price for just because you have a higher ceiling. And you end up with the same door, the same molding, configured in a different space. But it was priced at, I thought, an outrageous amount of money. So as time went on, I found local woodworkers who would make my designs at a reasonable price and passed it on to the clients, and ended up being about 50% less than what other people would charge. And then one day I opened my design studio at the San Francisco Design Center, which is the smallest little quaint studio gallery there. But I wanted to just show a sampling of the quality that was available, because everything that I do is custom for people. I didn't want them to get fixated on a particular display. I wanted to talk to them, find out what they like, what it is they wanted, and make sure that whatever I designed with them was fit in the architecture of their home, would add value to their home, and would really create a space that was very comforting and save them a lot of money in the process.
What part of your work energizes you the most that you do?
I think it's the act of creating. It's when it's the process where you are gathering information with the clients, trying to figure out exactly what it is they want. Because with myself, even you save magazine photos, you know, pull out a kitchen here or a faucet there, and put it in a file for years that you would like to have one day. You have all this information, and that's what you've wanted to do for 20 years. But you forget how you've changed and your current lifestyle and what it is that you really want today. And so I found that in trying to work through that process with the client, one of the great common denominators for husband and wife, or the family and as a whole, the kids as well, is where they like to vacation and what they like to do. So the way they live, their lifestyle, that's a big part of, a major part of what they really want. And all these pictures are things that they like, but you need to incorporate it in what they really want. And it's that, the drawing, the creativity, the problem solving along the way, that's the real thrill. When the project is finished and you walk in and you see your client really happy, I mean, just almost ecstatic that this is their home, that's incredibly satisfying. But it's almost a letdown, too, because you're at the end of the journey and the goal has been achieved, and now it's off to let them live their lives and find another, you know, home that you can go through the same process and help someone with.
It's almost like a painting.
It is, exactly.
You hate to let it go after it's completed.
And you're living in that painting the whole time. Sometimes you don't want to finish the painting because you really enjoy that little world that you're creating. And, you know, then you have to go back to reality.
Do you work with yards also? I mean, like the backyard?
Yes, I'd love to. Well, it's just a natural thing for me. I love gardening. That's been my hobby. And so I love to create an environment that when you're in the house, the outside and inside is all one, pretty much. Every door... every room has a door that you can exit. That's how a lot of European homes are made. And so the garden is a big part of the house and the room itself. So you can have a small room, a small bedroom, a small secondary bedroom. I noticed when I would go to Europe and you'd have be in a little bed and breakfast or a small home. It was a tiny little room. It had a small little fireplace. It may have high ceilings, but there was always a little door that you could go out and had a little terrace or a ground area in the garden that was considered yours. So at night you could sit out there and read. In the morning you could have your coffee out there. So it was an extension of the bedroom. And I like to create kind of outdoor rooms in the garden. So you might have your pool area, but then you also have a reading area or a secret garden area. You have kitchen garden. The children can have their own, you know, food garden or flower garden. It can be a variety of things depending what the family needs.
I was thinking, what do you do? You actually sit down with the client. The process that you go through, like to get the ideas popping out, do they have photographs and things like that they hand you and go, okay, this is what I'm thinking, or this is, I want to add this one kind of thing,
That's what they do. They give you a magazine. That's the best way to start. Give you magazine examples of what it is they like, the feeling. They talk about the feeling that they want, whether it's really rustic or French or English or modern, whatever, or a combination of a transitional home. And then I find out what colors they like, what they're planning in other areas of the house, you know, what they like as far as draperies, floors. And the interior design is what I like to hand off really to other interior designers that I know. And what I like to do is create pretty much the backdrop for the interior designs, the items that will never be changed. Because the interior design can always be updated and changed through the years. But you need that backdrop, the fireplace around the library, cabinetry, the front door, or all the doors. They need to be of an architectural structure, more like I call it a wow factor, a wow feature where you walk in a room and it makes you stop and look and feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that, and then, you know, whoever comes in that house, whenever it's resold, that is what is going to give it value, because those people will be able to look past the draperies, the furniture, the things that I may like or my client may like to change it and make it their own home.
Now, is the front door very important?
Pardon?
I would think the front door would be very important.
Yes, it is. It's very important. It should be a focal point for sure, and pretty much give a statement of the home, the family, the space, indoor and outdoor. What are you going to experience when you come in here? And there's many ways of doing that. We can have carved door, wood doors, or they can be bronze and glass doors. There's a variety of things you can have. It makes a great statement.
Go
ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing that I love that I saw that you did was that, for instance, somebody might have some old cabinetry and just you would be able to help them update and increase the value of the piece of furniture that's there. And they would love it, and so would anyone else. I'm almost thinking even the cabinets in the kitchen, the changes or whatever might be done, that you wouldn't have to take everything out, that you could just update the look. It would also save the client with money, and you still, you know, you would get the enhanced beauty of what was there, and yet, you know, you would save the clients lots of money.
Exactly. There's ways to just paint itself. You can make a regular or a dated kitchen, I should say. You could bring it back to life and modernize it or make it look more antique, more of a collectible piece. The island can turn into a focal point itself just by bringing in an artist that I know that would do really spectacular different types of faux painting, where you put different layers of paint on, rub them off to create different effects. And it can look like, I've seen some pieces that just are phenomenal. They make your jaw drop. And then the rest of the cabinetry, you take out the old doors and you can put in a beautiful glass door, add some lighting effects, and end up with a very nice kitchen. Sometimes you can't do that, though, if the interior boxes are not worth saving. I'll just put it that way, if it's a pretty poor condition. But there are many homes that really just changing the doors make a big, big difference.
Now, you talk about that you have some special light fixtures that you create, and how did you come about doing this?
Well, that started with my home that I was building. I had designed some iron light fixtures, and it ended up being more of a collaboration with the wrought iron worker, depending on what he could actually do in his shop area. But when we finished the light fixture design, he brought it into my garage and I painted it to make it look bronze. Then I was looking for the candles. It was a candelabra light fixture. So I was looking for those little candles that you slip on. I wanted it to be at the time, 60 watt bulbs were, you know, the flame shape were fine to use. And I didn't want to use a plastic slip-on candle because those limited you to 25 watts and you lost your light source. So I wanted it to be practical. Even as one thing led to another, and I ended up going to Benicia and having a local glass blower create some art glass candles for me, basically a dripping candle that's open on each end that you slip right over the electrical finger on the light fixture, and you have this beautiful candle, and it can take a 60 watt bulb, you know, off the top of it, or you can put it inside the art glass piece and let it glow, but you have more control over your light source. So from that, I thought, well, this was really fun, but I wanted more control over my design. So I found Bronze Foundries, where I sketch out a custom design, and then I go to the foundry and I make it out of wax, a mold out of wax, to the exact size of this light fixture. And then we cut it into lots of different pieces and create molds of each piece. And then each of those sections, molten brass is, or bronze rather, excuse me, is poured into it. It sets and then you put the piece back together. And it turns into, that's how they make the museum bronze sculptures for years. So I decided that, you know, this is a great way to make an art piece that can go on the wall and you can light it with LED lighting and have ambient light or put it in the garden and you have a sculpture that lights up and serves not only the purpose of being beautiful but also as a light source.
Wow.
And it's timeless. They're all signed and numbered. And so they're very collectible, and they're really reasonably priced compared to normal bronzes. My pricing is usually half. A lot of bronze pieces can be $30,000, and my pieces take a lot of work because they're usually more intricate, thinking of the lighting source so that you don't see it. But they're $20,000 and under normally.
So do you have samples of these items in your studio?
Yes, I do. I did prototypes of, I selected the design of grapevines and in honor of my maternal grandfather, he used to make his own wine. So I was always disappointed when I'd go to museums. I could never find a grapevine. A bronze sculpture with flowers, with a bird or bird's nest. So that's what I designed since I've been thinking about it since I was a child. So I have two sconces, a left and right. One, the left has a bird and the right has the bird's nest. And they're about 42 inches high, 24 wide, and about 12 deep. And then the standing life-size grapevines are three-dimensional. You can walk around them. The electrical comes out of the bottom, and they're lit under the leaves, and their arms are outstretched with a wire going through it, just like they'd be growing in the field. So I visualize those in, the wine country or in around restaurant entry, wine bars, wine cellars, as collectible art piece or in dining rooms, fine restaurants. It's basically art that people can collect, whether it's a business or a home, and it increases in value instead of in a few years you want to change it out and, spend just about as much money for a piece that is going to be outdated in 10 years.
Yeah, in your work, do you also find pieces from other artists for people to be able to purchase?
Yes, there are select artists that that I find along the way that they do something really different and unique. One that I have and feature in my showroom right now is Nathan Fisher. He's an artist that does, paints on metal, and he does modern landscapes on metal canvas, and it's they're very striking. It's something that I would not do, and I think that's why I love it so much. It's something that I wouldn't think of doing, and it's very handsome, and they're beautiful paintings.
When I'm listening to you, one of my favorite programs on television on when they do makeovers and they go in and design homes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, oh, she could have her own television show.
Yeah. Well, one of the programs did actually email me, which I was very surprised about a year ago. But things were going on. My mother had passed away. I couldn't take advantage of something like that at that time, and I just needed, you know, a few years to get ready for something like that. Most of what I do is, you know, it's all custom, and it's really fun to take somebody's home and just really create their dreams for them and save them a great deal of money in the process.
Well, your mind is so abundant with new ways to look at things. It's incredible. Now, I know that your business is flourishing and prosperous and all this, but have you always been that way?
Yeah, I've always bounced around, I guess. I always have. I never really realized it. The only way I realized it is my husband tells me all the time, you're always doing all of these different things. And I think it's it doesn't feel like a lot of different things. It's with my own business, I guess, for example, when I was painting, it started out as pen and ink drawings in college. And one of the women that was taking the same class really loved my little sketches and wanted to buy them as all my homework assignments. So then I thought, well, this is good. Maybe I'll make greeting cards. So then I went and started making greeting cards, and then I started my own greeting card company, and then I was doing, at the same time I was, as a hobby, which was really fun. This was when I was single living at home. I would sit on my front porch and the neighbor kids would come around. I'd have my sketchbook and I would give them each a turn as to tell me what they wanted me to draw for them so they could color it.
Oh my gosh!
And so they would describe all of these incredible things, and it really helped me because it really forced me to visualize the castle or the horse or the dragon, whatever it is they came up with, on the paper. So it became pretty easy for me to paint and draw because I could see everything on there before it was finished. And in school, all I was really learning is the technique of how to, you know, the layers of paint and how to get that done. But it was, the visualization was already there thanks to the kids. And as a side note, I have to share with you one of the most wonderful things that ever happened to me is when I was in my late 20s, I went home to visit Michigan, and I went to my mother had moved from our home, but I was visiting her and my stepfather at the house that was right next to ours where we grew up. So I parked my rental car and I got out and took a glance at our house and was walking next door, and all of a sudden this really handsome young guy that was, I don't know, 16 or so, comes running up to me and gives me this big hug and kiss. He says, "Ann Huddis, how are you?" And I just looked at him and he laughed and he said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "No." And he said, "I'm Peter Petroff." And I said, "Oh my gosh." He was a little boy on the other side of this house. that was the tiniest one in the neighborhood, and he was the little boy who always had the slacks from, you know, his brother that were a little too long for him, or had the runny nose or something, and the kids didn't like to play with him, or, you know, because he was small, they would always, he would get the brunt of things. And I was always telling everyone to leave Peter alone. Well, he said, hang on. And he ran into his house and came out and said, I'm just leaving for my first apartment. And I threw everything out, but I kept your drawings. I still have all of your drawings.
My gosh.
And I just burst into tears. I was so happy. And boy, is he handsome. What a handsome kid.
Do you still keep in contact with him?
No, that's the last time I saw him. We just, you know, when you're in your 20s, we only had that quick meeting, and he was starting his life and going to college and work and had a girlfriend, and I was off living in another state, and we didn't have email at the time, you know.
That was a few years back.
That was way back when.
I'm curious, in your studies, have you ever studied feng shui?
I never did. I had many friends when I was in my 30s and 40s who studied feng shui, and I would be interested in it, and they would tell me about it, but I could never understand it because they were using crystals and color and objects. And it didn't compute. I couldn't make the connection. And then about 2.5-3 years ago, when I was at the design center, a girl that I had met through a mutual colleague came in, and she was very excited about Joey Yap and told me that she was introducing him to San Francisco, and he teaches feng shui and Chinese astrology. Would I be interested in learning about this? And I asked her to tell me about it. And when she explained that it was all energy and it was the classical feng shui, the way it started in ancient times, I was interested because I thought, now this I could understand, or I could at least follow or understand the concept of it. So she invited me to his seminar and to sit in on a class, and it was right on. I mean, he everything he said was so usable and so practical and made so much sense. I became a sponsor, an ad in her brochure program, and started to learn more because Joey taught about feng shui with design build regarding your home, garden, businesses, and he consults all over the world to corporations and individuals, heads of state. He's only in his 30s. He's definitely an old soul. I mean, he's one of the people that I was truly blown away when I would hear him talk and describe things. He's incredibly knowledgeable. So I have been working with Sasha to help her introduce Joey to the design build industry.
Well, now
he includes astrology in his design work. That totally makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's. I think that's the part that really resonated for me also, and to test it, you know, before I recommend people, I always like to check everything out for myself. I signed up for a reading with Joey and, you know, gave him my birth date and all of that, and had a reading done, and I was absolutely astonished at how accurate he was. When I came home from that initial experience in the city a few years ago, I just couldn't stop talking about him. Talked my husband's ear off. And then the following year, I kept asking my husband if he would be interested in a reading, and he said yes, he'd be open to it. So we both had readings, and Rob was actually, he was blown away as well. He just couldn't believe the accuracy was phenomenal. And so we both have been learning as time goes on. And then I was able to sit in on one of Joey's advanced classes. He gives many classes, and I don't have the time right now to really go to class and learn everything about it, but it's definitely on my schedule to fit in to when I'm able to have the time, I think mid-year this year, to start scheduling things. It was sitting in on that class, and the way that he was teaching the class that made me compare the same teachings to Fred Wolf. And Fred Allen Wolf, I was reading on the side, was introduced to him years ago, but really got to see him through the DVD, What the Bleep Do You Know, Down the Rabbit Hole. So I was reading some of his books, and at the same time I was interested in Joey Epp. I was reading two or three books, skimming them here and there, of Fred's. And in Joey's lesson, I was shocked at how it seemed to parallel Fred's quantum physics explanations. And Fred explains them very well for the layperson to understand. And Joey was explaining, it seemed, this exact same concept only by using symbols and, Chinese letters and the lion, tiger, wind, earth, that type of thing, or the type, all of those different symbols of astrology and feng shui. And the accuracy is just phenomenal. But the one thing Joey was constantly cautioning his students on was, do not use psychic abilities or intuition when you're interpreting this. You need to read it exactly as the universe is giving it to you, and then you give it to the person, and it's up to them to make the interpretation. Otherwise, you're changing the message.
Wow.
So it was really, I just thought, how fantastic would this be to bring Joey and Fred together, especially now during these economic difficult times for everybody, to be able to hear these two experts live, you know, and learn how empowered we all really are now. No matter what's going on around you, you have, you know, this energy basically within and around you that you can use, sort of like your intuition. It's there. If you pay attention to it, it works for you. If you don't pay attention to it and you choose not to, you don't benefit from it.
So you're the one that brought the two together.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And initially it was to, you know, it all started to help Sasha introduce Joey to the design build industry. And then as I learned more, and I was, the other thing that happened is I was, working, you know, to keep depression and fear at bay with the economic downturn. And I was doing okay, but every time I would go to work, or periodically, I would hear people, you know, were very depressed and negative because of what they were going through. And I thought, well, you know, I really need to keep staying positive. So I started gravitating back toward Joey and Fred's books. And the more I read them, the more empowered I felt and the more positive I stayed in my own direction. And then as time went on, colleagues were saying to me when I would visit the design center, they would, you know, why are you busy and other people aren't busy? And I didn't think anything of it. I made a joke and went on my way. But then about, you know, after this happened a few times, it was one time when a colleague sounded rather frustrated that really got my attention. And when I was driving to my appointment, I really thought about it, and I thought, what is the difference? What am I doing different? Is there anything I'm doing different? And the only thing I could pinpoint were these books, and that I was consciously putting into practice what Fred was teaching and what Joey was teaching, and staying focused and really consciously working on it, trying to stay positive, working hard at really staying positive. And it made the difference. And then I thought, well, the very first thought that came into my mind once I made that connection was, I have to share this with other people. And it was probably the strongest intuitive feeling I've gotten in my entire life. It was really strong. And I thought, okay, this time I'm not even going to question. I'm going to go for it. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try to put this together to share it with people, because if any time in my life, this is when people would really need it and would be open to it.
What is your favorite book that Dr. Fred Alan Wolf has written?
Actually, the one that I get a kick out of, that I carry around a lot, is the Little Book of Big Ideas. It seems to encompass pretty much all his books, and it reminds you of everything, and it seems to always answer the main question that I need answered right away, and then I go to the other books from there to what it is I want to search out further.
Now, you actually have two events coming up with these men. One is on February 19th, and one is on March 19th. And do you want to talk a little bit more about that upcoming event and where it's going to be?
Sure. On February 19th, they're both held at the Herbst Theater in San Francisco at the War Memorial Veterans Building, 401 Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco. And City Box Office is selling the tickets. It's Friday, February 19th. It's from 6:30 in the evening until 8 o'clock with Fred Wolf. And he's going to basically demystify energy and explain it from a quantum physics, metaphysics, and spiritual points of view. And then he's very entertaining and very practical about all the advice and how he explains how we can all utilize this energy that is within and around us, and how we do need to pay attention to it and how it works. Basically, when things go right for you, there's a reason. He's going to explain why. When things go wrong, it's because you're not paying attention to your energy. And once you start paying attention to it, you can control it. You can really maintain more control about everything going right. And it's really as simple as that. It's not that ethereal. And then what's very exciting is Fred and Joey Yap then are going to come together on March 19th. It's also a Friday at the Herbst Theater at 10 in the morning until 11:30 in the morning. And they're going to have a great dialogue. Basically, it's East meets West. Eastern energy practices and methods meet Western science, and they're both going to talk about how they parallel and intersect, and how you can use both of them to really advance your personal and professional goals.
Wow, so gaining more control of success in the personal and professional goals are going to be a great way.
It is, and it's open to everyone. That's the thing that's really important, is that it's people that are raising a family. It's teenagers looking for the decision-making process of what it is that they want to do in school or for the rest of their lives, getting a job. It's for the people who are out of work, who are looking to change their career, or how can they, what is it they can do to make things different? People who are selling their home, having money problems, realtors trying to sell homes. It's everybody can benefit. It's not just somebody who's interested in the energy aspect. It's the everyday person. So if somebody out there believes in this, bring a friend that you think might be open to it. You'd be doing them such a favor. It really is going to change their life. And it's going to open all sorts of avenues. And as we all know, it's the journey that's the real thrill of our life. So it's always great to help somebody else while you're helping yourself.
And we should probably say at this point that for the cost of a lunch, people can go to each one of these special educational events that are happening, and you're giving the Taz and Paula Show listeners a special on being able to attend these events.
Yes, it's a very, very excellent price, and it's mainly that way priced that way because I want people to feel free to tell friends and bring as many people as they can, because everyone can afford the small amount that these tickets are, and it's a great deal, and it's the best $25 you'll spend. Really, it's amazing.
Okay, if people want to contact you, they can call you at 415-706-2815. Is that correct?
2816.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
2816.
Yeah, 415-706-2816.
Okay.
And the website, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The website they can look.
Yeah, it's okay. It's Energy by Design Seminars with an S .com/. Is it Taz and Paula?
Or yes.
Taz and Paula.
Well, it's TAPS.
TAPS. Okay. Energy by Design Seminars / TAPS for Taz and Paula Show. And actually, the TAPS is the promo code that you will use on the City Box Office website to get that $90 ticket reduced to $25 through this special radio program.
So we invite all our listeners to take the advantage of this great deal.
Oh, my gosh. We... not only that, but you know what? We're looking at a lady that has created the most awesome time and given a gift of herself to others that brings creativity and everything that anyone could touch, literally.
It's like Dr. Wilde says, don't just go to China. Go east and see everything you can see, and that's what Anne has been doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's opening the door to a new vision in every part of your life, whether it's personal, professional, or whatever. You'll have the ability to see and connect more with the energy to get you in the direction you need to go. So it's
real. It is real. And it can make a big difference in your life if you let it.
Yes, it will. And we're here to accept it.
Yes.
Now, is there a message that you want to let our listeners know that maybe we didn't touch upon? Or is there just a message that you want to, you know, leave them with?
Well, The one thing would be when you hear about something like this and you want to help yourself and educate yourself further and have you know, more deeper education about things, that it's always good to share it with somebody that you can help along the way and enlighten a friend or another soul, if you want to think of it that way, and help them on their journey a little bit, especially somebody who might be down and right now, depressed. Even give them a gift, you know, of the event. It truly is going to be special for them, and I try to do that all the time. And I don't know, but every time I seem to focus on helping other people, I end up getting more out of it anyway. And it's I think that's just how nature works. And
exactly.
It always comes back. So if we can focus on helping others and bringing them to this event and others, that you'll be rewarded tenfold. That's all. That's the message I would leave people.
It's actually a love gift.
Yes.
Yeah, that could be a Valentine's gift.
Oh, yeah, happy Valentine's. That's a great idea.
Oh, my goodness. And really wonderful. You know, we're going to have to come and visit you at your showroom, and you can give us a warm cup of tea, and we can chat longer.
Oh, I'd love it. I would love it.
Okay, let's give out the website one more time.
The website is energybydesignseminars.com/taps. Taz and Paula Show, T-A-P-S.
And that will give everybody information about the two speakers.
Right. It'll give information about the two speakers. It'll show some radio programs that they've given interviews on where they can go in and click on the podcast and listen to the radio interviews to get a real feeling of how dynamic these speakers are. And I know if they listen to one of those podcasts, that, you know, in addition to this radio program, that you will, that they will definitely want to come because it's going to be incredibly dynamic.
And one more time, let me give you the phone number, which is 415-706-2816. You can talk with Ann personally about anything you want to.
Well, thank you, Ann, for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.